Okay, it's Stephanie Cruz. I'm up in the Allen Valley Visitor Centre. It's the 21st of July 2019, and I'm here talking to Peter about his memories of the moon landings. Peter, what memories do you have of that time?
Well, I remember the first thing I remember is Apollo 8, when they went around the moon for the first time, and we saw Earth rise for the first time. And I couldn't believe as a child, well, I was 13 years old, or 12 when it was Apollo 8, I couldn't believe that we were actually seeing the Earth from another world as they went round. And because most of space then was science fiction, there wasn't a lot of space stuff like there is now. And I thought, this is just unbelievable. And then, of course, then the moon landings were going to happen, which even leading up to it, I thought, this is never going to happen. This is not going to happen. And I remember sitting up, sitting and watching the launch, and then slowly watching over the period of 3 days as they arrived at the moon, and then from the point of separation to go down to the lunar surface, I stayed glued to the television from that till the end of the moonwalks, which was about 8 hours. I never moved.
And tell me about the television.
Oh, the television. We had a television, and in those days, they had black and white televisions. And we had one from Radio Rentals at the time, which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And you used to have to put 2 shillings, because remember, it was old money.
Yes.
2 shillings in the back. And I remember our dad saying to me, if you want to sit up and watch that all night, you can put your own pocket money in. And I was feeding this television with these 2 shillings all night just so I could see that moon landing. And I sat there in disbelief that we were walking on another world. And it was amazing. And that set me on the path to become a professional astronomer.
Yes.
Which is where I am now today. So, yeah.
That's brilliant. And is there anything else that you remember at that time? So, like what you were wearing, the music that you were listening to?
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, I'm doing a talk in a minute called Herschel to Hawkwind. And the music that was starting to appear at the time was things like Pink Floyd,
yes,
Hawkwind,
yes.
Space Oddity, yeah. David Bowie.
Yeah.
So those sort of things were starting to appear. And before I became a professional astronomer, I was a professional musician, a rock musician. And I think the two linked together kind of inspired me on to do that.
Yes.
And so I remember not long after that going to see Hawkwind play their first tour called the Space Ritual Tour,
right,
which was all based around space and the moon and the rest of it. And remember later on getting Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd. Oh. So it was all the music. The main things I can remember, I mean, what was I wearing at the time? No, this will shock folks. Lime green trousers,
yeah.
Afghan coat, bell bottom lime green trousers, Afghan coat that stunk like an old goat, and nobody would sit next to me on a bus.
Yeah,
and that kind of thing.
Yes.
So I was becoming a hippie.
Yes, but I mean, top fashion of the time.
Oh, it was.
Absolutely.
It was. And I Doc Martin boots, but I sprayed them silver.
Oh, wow.
So, looking back on it, yeah,
yes,
right.
Yeah. But you say you sort of like you became an astronomer.
Astronomer, yeah.
And you know Neil Armstrong's son, is
yes,
that right?
Rick Armstrong, yes.
How did
yes.
you meet him?
Oh, through Facebook.
Right.
Yeah, because I was looking for stories for the Apollo for my talks, and I contacted him and said, is there any chance you could give me some information, and we've kept in contact.
Yeah, yeah. And what sort of things has he told you about his dad?
Oh, just little things like his dad. He wanted his dad to take him camping before they went to the moon, and when he came back from the moon, he took him camping.
Yeah.
About when Neil Armstrong came over here just after the moon landings, looking for his heritage, and he arrived in Shrewsbury, and he went to a clock shop in Shrewsbury and helped a guy fix a clock because he was waiting for his connection to the next station. And popped into what this restaurant we got in Shrewsbury called Paolo's Restaurant. And you just can't imagine Neil Armstrong coming back from the moon. And he came over under an assumed name because he didn't want to be recognised. But of course, you get off a train in Shrewsbury, everybody knows Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
And then he changed again at York. And he was telling me that he got off the train in York and he was recognised again. And his destination was Langholm in Scotland, where he was looking for his grandparents or great-grandparents.
Yeah.
And when he got off the training in Langholm, they were already there with the civic reception and gave him order of freedom of the borough.
Wow.
But what amazes me is I went up to see the plaque they've erected to him. And you'd have think if you'd had Neil Armstrong in your village, you'd have erected a plaque on a big wall somewhere in some, or like the town hall.
Mm.
No, it's outside the public toilets on the car park. But it's bizarre, you know, you go to this little village and there's a plaque outside the toilets for Neil Armstrong.
Right. amazing.
But yeah, lots of little stories like that in the time that he had the accident in what they call the flying bedstead. And he said he just arrived home, sat down at the dinner table, and Mrs. Armstrong said, "Have you had a good day?" "Yeah, not too bad." He was just nearly killed. But he was that cool that he just never fazed him. But after he came out of the Apollo program, he just went into recluseness. He didn't like the publicity. He didn't think he'd done anything special. As far as he was concerned, it was just a job.
It's part of the day job.
Yeah.
Just
and he just wanted to disappear from...
Gosh.
And he did.
Yeah. Anything else?
What else did he tell me? Yeah, he was telling me little things when they were on the way down to the moon, how when they were going to abort because of the computer error, that he tried to put Buzz Aldrin at his ease to say that, you know, I can do this. And the fact that he coolly took control of the lunar module. And people say, well, you know, okay, he's flown a lunar module before. No, he hadn't. Nobody had flown
nobody
a lunar module.
No.
Nobody had landed on the moon before. So when he took control manually and landed that on the moon, it was the first time anybody had done it, and he did it as cool as you could. And the fact that when he took it down, to he'd only got about 5 seconds of fuel left when they actually touched down, and it never fazed him. And one of the things he said to Buzz Aldrin, said to him, "We're going to be out of fuel," and he said, "Don't worry, they always put a little extra in." It's just little stories like that.
That's brilliant. Yeah. And yourself, Peter, you're going to be doing a talk later on.
Well, I've done the moon landings.
Well,
I've got to do one in a minute because the lady that was coming to do the children's stuff has hurt her hand. So I'm doing a little introduction to the planets for the children. Then I'm doing Herschel to Hawkwind, which is about how music and space have intertwined over the years in different ways.
Fascinating.
So I'll be doing that at 2 o'clock.
Well, thank you very much for talking
to me. No problem.
It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.